Well, January the 1st, it's a great day to ask ourselves, which way are we going to go in the year ahead? Which way are we going to go? And Psalm 1 sets out very starkly the two ways that lay ahead of us. So I wonder if you can spot the difference between the two ways in Psalm 1. And I've asked Anna Taylor to come up and read for us.
Today's reading is from Psalm 1, which can be found on page 384 in the Red Bible. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Well, we just start by praying together. Let's pray. Our Father, we think of the blessed man whom is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Our Father, how we long to follow after this blessed man and similarly meditate on your word today and every day throughout the year ahead. So please help us now to turn to your scriptures to help us flourish as trees. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start by asking whether I wonder whether anyone recently has been lost. Has anyone been lost recently? Been lost? Maybe in a car with someone else driving, and they think they know the way, but really they don't. And so before too long, you're not only lost, but you're running late as well. I wonder if anyone can identify with that particular scenario. And maybe the driver says, oh, look, it's fine. It's absolutely fine, they assure you. And we don't need to stop. Certainly not. Don't need to ask the directions. Not at all. I'm sure we'll work out where we are in just a minute or two. However, the minutes go by, don't they? The minutes go by and the tension in the car kind of raises and suddenly you're paying a lot of attention to the signposts, but they're not that helpful. They're all a bit like this, you know, totally kind of befuddling, really. And if you're sitting on the back seat, you know, you think, I'll probably just be quiet now. I'll probably just hope that maybe close my eyes and it will all work itself out in the end. You see, no matter how kind of free spirited we are, getting lost is actually not that fun. It's not fun, is it? Particularly when you're the driver and you know that if you'd stopped a while back and checked for directions, consulted the map, done whatever, you probably wouldn't have been in this situation in the first place. And what's true for car journeys is actually true for the whole of life. Whilst it might sound cool to kind of go with the flow and see where that takes you, in the moment, it never actually is. Yet it's so easy to do. You know, when it comes to the big decisions of life, the big decisions like that we've got facing us in the year ahead. You know, it's so often to kind of get caught in the moment and just be swept along, kind of going for whatever seems easiest, whatever everyone else is doing, without really knowing whether it's right or not, and what it might lead to. And this is exactly what our verse from the Bible is all about today. It's printed out for us in the service sheet. So if you've got the service sheet, just turn up to it. And it's in Jeremiah, and we're looking just at one verse. chapter 6, verse 16. So Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It's printed out there, and I'll just read it for us now. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah's saying this. Whatever crossroads you are at in life, stop. Stop. Stand and look. Get your bearings. Consult the map. Assess the situation. When it comes to the important questions, questions over things that kind of really matter, things that involve right and wrong, don't just trust your gut instinct. Don't just follow the crowd. No, stop and ask, what is the right way here? What's the right way? What's God's way rather than my way? Because they might not actually be the same. For instance, it's so easy at school, isn't it? You know, to do whatever is normal. I spent the whole of my school years just trying to do whatever was normal. But normal doesn't necessarily mean right, actually. It might be normal to pick on that rather awkward person in your class. Everyone else does. And to be honest, he kind of brings it upon himself, you know, with all the annoying things he does. It may be normal to pick on him. Doesn't mean it's right. Or maybe it's the office where the battleground is for you. You know, at work where everyone cares a great deal about their reputation. And so when there's a choice to be made, as there often is, between protecting our reputation or being totally honest about the facts, well, the norm amongst our colleagues is to sort of sacrifice the truth for the sake of, for the sake of kind of looking good. That's just what everyone does. It's how things work. It's how, frankly, you get ahead. And so for the sake of an easy life, we kind of bury the questions we might have about whether it's right or wrong, and we just go with the flow. The thing is, in just the same way as going with the flow is never the right way to navigate through a place that you don't know, it's no way either to navigate through life. If we're to chart the right direction, we've got the right course, we've got to stop and get directions. Sorry about this. This is very embarrassing. Hello? Oh, Paul Stacey, good to hear from you. Happy New Year. Yes. Hey, look, do you know what? This isn't actually such a good time at the moment. What's the problem? You got lost. You got lost trying to get to church. Oh dear, you've been what, trying for ages to get here, and you're going round and round in circles, but now you're really stuck. Okay. Well, where do you think you are? In Hawfield. Yeah, in Hawfield. Well, hang on. Don't you live in Bishopston? Oh, you never actually go to Hawfield. Okay. I get it. Okay, right. So you're at a crossroads, right? Well, you're at a crossroads. Well, do you think you could text us a photo of where you actually are, and then we'll try and stop and look and think about which way you might need to go? Is that okay? SMS me. Thank you, Paul. Okay, here we go. We're waiting. Okay. Here we go. Oh, thank you. Wow. Hey, it's a nice day in Hawfield today. That's good. Fantastic. Okay, Paul, just wait. We're gonna stop and we're gonna consider. We're gonna ask one another, just between us. Should Paul go left or right or straight on? Just chat with your neighbour. Stop, look, and ask each other. Okay. Here we go. Right. What's the consensus, guys? What? Left. We're getting quite. Okay, left. Left. Paul, take a left. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Paul. Okay, brilliant. Your wife's right. I don't know what that means. Just take a left, my friend. Oh, look, you've come out to another place. Okay. Where are you now? Okay. Which way should Paul go? Hands up for left. Hands up for left. A few. Okay. Hands up for straight on. Hands up for right. Yeah, it's straight on, Paul. Keep going. Thank you. Oh, you're at a roundabout. You're going fast today. Thank you. Left or straight on? What do we think? Left? Hands up for left. Hands up for straight on. Okay. Oh, you've gone left. Oh, never mind. Okay, I think we can work it out. Ah, this is tricky. Straight on or right? Right. We got right, right, right. Brilliant. Oh, anyone know where we are? Left, left. Ah. Where now? You've gone too far, Paul. You've got to turn around, my friend. You're just not used to coming from this direction. Turn around. Done that? Brilliant. Ah, Red Mage. You're here. Great. Are you coming through the doors? Where are you, Paul? Paul? Oh! Well done, Paul. You got your map. Thank you. Hands free. You were driving very fast, my friend. Right, let's all turn our mobiles off. Yes. No more embarrassing moments. I can't, this is a new phone, I can't turn it off. So no ringing it. Okay. Ooh. Well, look, here we go. Left to himself, Paul was nowhere. He needed help. He was stuck in the depths of Hawfield, and he was shooting around the place, expending a lot of energy, following his nose, but getting nowhere. So he did the wise thing. He stopped, and he asked for direction. He asked for help. And the same is true, that whilst we might not be lost geographically, we may not be lost geographically, if we don't stop this year and ask, what's God's way here rather than my way? We'll end up losing our bearings in life and on a path that ultimately will lead away from God and not towards him, away from him and his ways. So firstly, whatever we're facing in the coming months, you know, maybe a new term at school, or a new class at school, or maybe you're facing that chance promotion that you could go for, or maybe it's imminent retirement that's coming up. Whatever it is, don't just plow on, says Jeremiah, doing whatever everyone expects. First stop and look. Great. Well, that does leave us with a question, though, because what should we be on the lookout for exactly? How do we know what is the right way, and how do we know what is the wrong way in all the big issues of life? Well, just have a look down at our verse again, Jeremiah 6. Stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it. So the good way in any given situation is the ancient way. That's the good path. That's what's best. Now, the problem, though, with Jeremiah saying this and us hearing him is going, hang on, ancient sounds, well, it's a negative word today. To our ears, ancient sounds outdated. It sounds kind of like being out of touch. For instance, anything like, I've got something which is pretty ancient here. It probably should be in a museum. I wonder if anyone knows what it is. Walkman. Remember Walkmans? Yeah, very old. I've even got you put things called tapes in them. I've got Now 21 here, my sort of kind of like a favourite album for mine in my childhood. You kind of have to put tapes in. But the thing about Walkmans is they can store a whole album. You can put a whole kind of like 11 tracks on them if you want, and you can fast forward between them or rewind if you want. And then when they get halfway around, you just turn them over. It's brilliant. Not at all. No. Walkmans are, well, they're outdated. Compared to I think a 120 gig iPod, you can put 2,000 albums on, just like that. That's where we're at today. So, like, ancient technology is bad. It's out of date. And that's really the case for, well, that's how we think about anything in our technological age. Anything ancient is useless. We love the novel, the state of the art. Whether it's a gadget or maybe a toy you got for Christmas, what everyone's got, you know, we love the latest thing. Or maybe we like the latest idea or the bit of teaching, the book, which everybody is raving about at the moment. We love that. In our world, the latest usually means the best. But of course, that's not always the case for everything, not at all. In some instances, ancient things are far superior to the latest innovation. So take coffee, for example. Okay, so what we've got here, I've got some real kind of coffee beans, very nice. Just is pretty ancient. It's been around for a few hundred, well, not thousands of years, actually, a bit of research, but lots and lots of hundreds of years. Compared to the latest invention of kind of, freeze-dried instant coffee, you know, there is no contest. You know, it's kind of a different drink. It's fine. I mean, instant coffee, great. You know, we sell instant coffee, lovely, that's brilliant. But compared to the real deal, there's no contest because the ancient stuff wins hands down. And so when God says, ask for the ancient past, we've got to think, freshly ground coffee and not Walkmans. That's what we've got to think. The ancient way, it's the way that's been going on for years and years and years. And it's not just a recent fad. And it's a way that might look harder going at times, that might involve more hassle, but it will be good for us, nonetheless, far superior to any other alternatives, which will end up taking us nowhere. So maybe you're conscious. Are you conscious of two ways ahead today, coming into the new year? There's maybe at school, there's the road that kind of cares a great deal about what your friends think about you, that road. And the last thing you want to be seen, if you're on that road, is seen as the teacher's pet. You know, you do whatever it takes to win your friend's approval. Even if you know what you're doing is wrong, you do whatever it takes to win your friend's approval. But the other road is different. People on this road say, the person I most care about pleasing is the Lord Jesus. And that is the ancient path. It's the path that faithful Christians throughout the ages have walked at great personal cost to themselves sometime. But people on this road say, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus at school this term, even if it means getting a bit of stick from my friends. Or, I don't know, maybe you desperately like to be married. And you've met a lovely man, you've met a lovely woman. And you feel so happy when you're with them. And they're so funny and so kind and attractive. But they aren't Christian. Now our mates will say, well, loosen up. You know, don't be so staid and conservative. You need to follow your heart, even if it's a clear departure from God's way. But dear friend, if that is you, go with the ancient path, the path laid out for us here in the scriptures. You know, God is so clear. His pattern here is for Christians, to marry Christians. And of course, our friends, maybe our family too, will be utterly up in arms if we take that route. They'll see it as unduly restrictive. But nothing could be further from the truth, because it is the good way, the way that our Maker has set out for us and designed for us. So we walk in it. Perhaps it's with your money that you're feeling pulled in kind of two directions. God's way, the ancient way, which reflects His character, well, that's radically generous. The easier route, well, it believes in giving, but not in too costly a sort of a way. And because it is easier, we think, well, this second route will be more enjoyable. It looks easier, therefore it will be more enjoyable. But actually, no. There's no more unhappy person in the world than a stingy Christian. Someone who knows God's ways, but is choosing not to walk in them. Choosing, rather, to walk away from Him. That makes for an unhappy life. You see, God... God is no killjoy. You see, he doesn't want us to stop, look at the crossroads that we're facing in 2012, and then opt for the ancient path laid out for us here in the scriptures in order to squeeze our life and diminish our lives. No, he wants the best for us. He wants to give us something called rest. Just look down at it one last time. Chapter 6, verse 16. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path and ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, rest is a wonderful word in the Bible. It doesn't mean kind of putting your feet up and having a snooze. No, no, it's far more profound than that. It's about experiencing God's presence and all of his blessings that he wants to give us. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful to experience God's presence and all of his blessings? I mean, our God made the world with just a word. So ice cream, it was God's idea. It was his idea. Wonderful. And he thought of friendship and football, fry-ups. It was all his idea. And all that we enjoy in this life comes from him. And so to go and be with him will be, well, it'll be fabulous. That will be rest in the richest sense. And the thing is, that is the precise destination for anyone who walks Jesus' path. Because anyone who listens to Jesus and puts what he says into practice is walking on the ancient path. I don't know if anyone, kind of as we read Jeremiah, was thinking of some words that Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 11, this is what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you unsure about which way to go in 2012? Well, look to Jesus. Examine what he says about your particular situation. Ask for help. What does Jesus say about the situation I find myself in? Learn from him, and you'll find yourself on the ancient path, the path of blessing, the good way, the way that may be hard. It may be uphill and tough going at times, but the way that leads to rest. It may be a new year. Let's stick with the old path, say. Why don't I pray for us? Our Father in heaven, we confess our tendency to go with the flow, to do what's expected of us by our friends and colleagues, to do whatever's easiest, and not stop and consider and ask what the good way is, what the way is of your word. Please, in this new year, as we face different situations, different questions, would we come again to the scriptures and come to Jesus and ask ourselves, what is the good way, and walk in it? And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's be seated for a final prayer. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Loving Father, we pray that we would indeed walk in these ancient paths in the year ahead. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.